Welcome to the Women in Sport and Exercise Academic Network podcast. I am your host, Dr. Jackie Forsyth, and also co-founder of the network. The purpose of the Women in Sport and Exercise Academic Network is to grow, strengthen, and promote research on women in sport and exercise, with the ultimate goal of optimising women's athletic success and their participation. With these podcasts, we wish to bring you information from leading academics who are researching about women in sport and exercise and provide you with advice and support for the exercising female. Please remember our disclaimer that the opinions, content and recommendations contained within our podcast are for general information only and should not be substituted for medical advice, treatment or diagnosis. Rebecca Myers is a journalist for The Times and Sunday Times and the lead reporter for the prestigious Sunday Times Sports Women of the Year Awards. She has covered major sporting events such as the Commonwealth Games, the World Athletics Championships and the FIFA Women's World Cup, and her work focuses on women's sport. She was shortlisted for the Society of Editors Young Journalist of the Year Award 2018. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to Rebecca in this podcast. I asked her about the female athletes she has reported on and interviewed during the COVID-19 lockdown, both the positives and the negatives of how this situation has impacted their lives. We also talked about the media portrayal of women in sport, both currently during the COVID-19 restrictions, but also her hopes for the future and for the future of sports journalism for women. So Rebecca, it's lovely to have you on this podcast. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So my first question, because you're a sports journalist and you've been doing a lot of interviews and reporting on female athletes during this COVID-related pandemic, have you come across any interesting or novel ways that these females are responding to the change or trying to adapt their training programme?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing that struck me that I think, you know, we sort of knew before but have possibly forgotten with the kind of regimes that athletes are so used to is that actually athletes are incredibly innovative people and probably none more so than female athletes who often have to juggle, you know, careers or children alongside their sporting careers. And they've been really just some brilliant stories, really surprising me, some kind of fun conversations with gymnasts in particular who are sort of setting up all sorts of curious things in their back gardens, which I think probably take a lot of bravery to do. And then I've spoken to taekwondo athletes who've converted their garage into places that they can work out and do their sparring. Actually, one of the most enjoyable conversations I had was with Hayley Carruthers, who is a runner, a GB runner, and she was due to run the London Marathon, as so many people were, which was obviously postponed. And she'd been this kind of breakout amateur last year, and I'd covered her story last year at the time. She wasn't really expecting to kind of be pro, be elite. She'd literally started running like so many of us do, just a mile down the road and feeling quite out of breath. And she'd gone, you know, straight to the top of the ranks, these incredible times. But I spoke to her and she said, actually, the kind of forced break and the postponement and all of that had really forced her to kind of go back to basics and look at why she started running in the first place and what that meant to her. And she just did it because it made her feel good. It was about good mental health. It was about taking time out for herself. And that really moved me, I think, because I'm a sort of very low-key amateur runner myself. And it was nice to hear an athlete who has to train, has to do that every single day, just go right back to those real basics of why she started the sport in the first place. So that was absolutely lovely. That's definitely been one of my favourite conversations.
And that's a positive story. I wonder whether there's any women particularly because of certain restrictions who are reflecting and thinking, do you know what, I don't think I can do this, or I don't want to go back to being that have that high level of intensity training after we come out of this pandemic. Have you come across any situations like that, or have you seen any women who are particularly finding it hard during this time?
I think a lot of female athletes are finding it hard. I think obviously athletes across the board are men included, but there are quite unique concerns for female athletes. A lot of these women have jobs. A lot of female sports are not at the point yet where players can earn full-time megastar wages perhaps like the Premier League, for example. So a lot of these women are then also looking at things like being put on furlough schemes or not being able to make ends meet in the same way. They won't have, you know, loads of money in their savings. And then also, like I said, some might have family, childcare to deal with, other kind of forms of care, people around them. So that can be quite restrictive on then how much they can train and how much they can exercise. The kind of quite interesting flip side of that is that, especially for players, female rugby players, for example, where that's still quite amateur, there are no clubs in the UK that yet pay female rugby players full-time wages. And lower league football players who, again, are juggling one or two jobs, actually things like the furlough scheme have really helped them in terms of their athletic careers, because they've been actually able to train full-time because they haven't been able to work. So that's quite a sort of, I guess, unexpected silver lining that we've seen, that is quite nice, I guess, and nice for them to have that opportunity to do what a lot of male athletes do, which is train full-time.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Well, what about media coverage? Because usually there's a more male-dominated share of media coverage. Is there any changes that you've noticed during this COVID period? I mean, I've noticed, for instance, they're doing replays of old World Cup fixtures and they tend to be predominantly males. Is that your understanding, or do you see more of a broader share?
Yeah, it's really interesting you say that. I was really hopeful in when this all started. Obviously, it was a massive shame to have live sports stopped and obviously huge disruption. But, you know, I was trying quite hard to find silver linings, and I had hoped for a change that actually there'd be a slightly better balance. The Premier League dominates pretty much all media coverage, TV, broadcast, print, but particularly in print newspapers. And I sort of hoped that maybe, because it wasn't happening, we might have slightly more space for women's sport. Unfortunately, that hasn't seemed to have materialised. That doesn't seem to have happened. Not only have we not really seen female sport kind of taking more space in the paper, but like you said, I think across the board, there's a lot of looking at the archives or looking back at, obviously, BBC are playing previous matches. People are going to, there's a lot of documentaries at the moment. And all of this stuff, particularly with TV, tends to get made about male players, male teams, male sports, Premier League. And so actually, there's not been a particularly big change, which is a massive shame, because I think this could be a real opportunity to kind of reimagine how we cover sports. I would say also, I cover some women's football, and the kind of communications around that have been quite poor. Women's football, just the same as men's, has been massively affected, and in a lot of the same ways. But the communication, either from kind of the powers that be or clubs or all of that, has been quite stilted. For example, with the Euros next year, which we're supposed to host here in the UK, we had to wait for days, weeks to find out how that was going to be affected by the postponement of the men's tournament, which was kind of ridiculous in a way, because it was so clear that it was going to be, but there was absolutely no clear communications around that. And so that becomes really difficult for the press to cover it in a sort of proper, factual, informative way. So that's been quite a challenge. The flip side, I would say, is that I've certainly had athletes come to me and say, obviously, we're desperate for sport to come back, but when it comes back, we don't want it to look like this anymore. We don't want it to look unequal, and we don't want there to be these massive discrepancies we've had. I did a piece at the weekend with female ultra runners who spoke to me about the kind of massive sexism that happens within their sport, bullying, problems with men on the trails, telling them that they shouldn't be there, or even shoving them in some cases, but also from then top-down organisers, unequal prize money and ridiculous prizes such as nail varnish and things for female runners, and all of this kind of outrageous stuff. And I think the feeling there was very much that if we bring this stuff to light now and we discuss it properly, when sport comes back, we have a real opportunity to change things for the better. And that in itself is a kind of real positive of this coverage.
You sound really passionate about this. Is that one of your things then, as a journalist yourself, to see if you can push this female agenda and see if you can get more coverage for women?
Yeah, absolutely. I have such a constant battle, really, with and perfectly valid questions. Obviously, there are less valid questions that get asked in Twitter trolls and all of that. But I do have genuine conversations with often male, it has to be said, readers who sort of say, well, you know, female sport doesn't deserve as much coverage because it isn't as good, or because they don't earn as much, and maybe they don't deserve to earn as much, and all of this stuff. But I'm really a great believer in you can't be what you can't see. And we haven't seen women's sport in papers, in broadcast, and, you know, on TV ever, really. It's really only in the past sort of 5 to 10 years that we've been giving women's sport any kind of, you know, place in these mediums and the place that it deserves. And I think if you don't include it, then people can't tell if they like it. And if they can't tell if they like it, they won't go. So you get this sort of vicious circle where people don't go because they don't see it. So they don't pay. So clubs don't earn money. And it kind of self-perpetuates. So I'm a great believer that we need to break that cycle. And one of the main ways we can do that is by putting coverage in the press. And once people do, you know, I had a lot of people read my ultra running article at the weekend who sort of said, God, these women are amazing. And that includes men who probably hadn't come across the sport before. Same with, we saw this massively with the Women's World Cup last year. It was given great prominence. I'm sure there were plenty of people who thought it was given too much prominence because, you know, they didn't believe it was worthy of that. And actually what happened is tens of millions of people watched it. It broke all the records for TV viewing figures for women's football. And people realized once they saw it that they loved it. And that is a real powerful thing that we can do. And there'll be plenty of people who say, you know, well, they don't want it rammed down their throats. But I think that's not really what's happening. It's just about giving people the opportunity and giving kids the opportunity. I never saw any women's football when I was a kid. And, you know, it wasn't all that long ago. And I see, you know, when I go to Wembley Stadium to cover the FA Cup, for example, I'll see little boys with like female footballers' names on the back of their shirts. And that, I mean, I'm quite a sort of crier anyway, but that always makes me cry because I just think that was never an option for, well, any previous generation, really. And if you can give that to those kids at that age, they won't see male and female athletes differently for the rest of their lives. They'll just see them as male and female athletes who can do these amazing things. And that's incredibly powerful.
Is this one of the things that has driven you towards being a sports journalist?
Definitely, yeah. So unlike a lot of sports journalists, I didn't enter the industry planning to go into sport. I was a sort of general news reporter, worked in lots of different sections, feature writing. Basically, I was on a grad scheme when I first joined the paper and I was given some time on the sports desk. And when I got there, I realised no one was really covering, certainly at this point, that was 5 years ago, no one was really doing much women's football in the national papers, certainly nothing like they are now. And so I started doing a bit here and there, and then I started to do a bit more. And we have our annual Sportswoman of the Year awards. And I was lucky enough, kind of a few weeks after joining the paper, to start working on those in the autumn. And every year, despite moving on and joining the news desk and working up in Scotland and generally working out other parts of the paper, every year I came back to the Sportswoman of the Year awards and covered them because they just really moved me. And I think particularly we have a grassroots category for, you know, local clubs and volunteers. And I just thought that was such an extraordinary thing to see all these women in their communities trying to bring sport to other women. A lot of the time who hadn't really had a relationship with sport, and I wasn't particularly sporty as a young person, as a teenager, as a kid. It wasn't something that was really offered to me that much. We certainly weren't allowed to play. I went to a girls' school and we weren't offered football. We weren't really offered anything other than netball, which is fine, but I wasn't very good. And so I suppose I saw people bringing it to their communities in a way that I found really inspiring. And so when I was offered the opportunity to join the sports desk full time, I thought, yeah, I think the prospect of what we could do with this and what we could do in terms of bringing women into the paper, female sports, elite sports, and then also the flip side of, I've written a bit for the magazine and Style about more grassroots participation, things like sports bras and access for young girls. That was just so exciting to me.
Well, I think that's quite inspirational yourself, because you made a comment that you weren't particularly sporty. Probably, maybe this is just me, but maybe my perception of somebody who's a sports presenter as a female or who reports on sport as a female, that they would have to be mega sporty and know everything there is to know about sport. So that gives maybe people some hope that they could achieve a successful career as a sports journalist, having not necessarily had that background. Is that right? Or do you need to have, you know, certain skills to do that?
Oh, that's very kind. No, I think it is. And I wrote about this for the News Review section of the paper once. It was a couple of months ago now, and someone had come out and said that we should sort of tone down sports banter in offices because it excluded women. And everybody was up in arms, like, oh my God, are you trying to say that women don't like sports and it's so sexist and all of this? And I wrote a sort of tongue-in-cheek piece, but one of the things that I did want to get across was that actually men are equipped with a language around sport that women often aren't, because they've been left out in terms of society, not just, you know, not being able to see women playing sport as much, but also just there were strange things when I became a sports journalist that I started to notice, like my brother, who hasn't really got that much interest in certainly like the Premier League, for example, would just know these players' names, just, and like really obscure details that I just thought, this is my job, and you know, I have to research this stuff, and I do work really hard to make sure I have as much knowledge as possible at all times. But he had all this weird stuff that he couldn't explain why he knew it. And actually, after the piece came out, I had quite a lot of people get in touch with me, women saying that really resonated with me. And one girl said, I was afraid I couldn't be a sports journalist because I didn't have all these weird, you know, random facts in my head. And that's not what the job is about. The job isn't just a kind of gloating contest of how much you know, although I think occasionally people would fear it is. It really isn't about that. And you know, you have a lot to bring. I think one of my colleagues who did some really important investigations has spoken about this, is actually sometimes it's a huge benefit not to be a fan, because I think if you're a fan, it's very hard to then, you know, expose doping or look at a team and say they're corrupt or whatever that might be. It's quite hard to step away from your sport and look at its flaws. Whereas obviously as a journalist, one of the most important things we need to do is look at sport and look at its flaws. So yeah, I think that has actually helped me in some ways. And you know, to your point about being sporty, I think women have a very complicated relationship often with sport. It comes from school. We know that women, well, girls participate in far less numbers in school. We know that they drop out increasingly early on, but around the age of sort of 12 when puberty starts to hit. And so I think they develop quite a difficult relationship with sport. Certainly I had a very difficult relationship with sport, and I will still say I'm not sporty, and yet I probably run 3 times a week, cycle a couple of times a week, go spinning, swimming, yoga. I love sport, but I would never kind of sell myself as sporty, and I think that's quite an interesting thing.
Where do you see your career going? Do you want to stay within the field of sport?
To be honest, I think about this quite a lot. And one thing I would love to see is, my role is not, I haven't got a title about being a women's sport journalist, but obviously that's what I focus on. And obviously the hope is that one day that becomes redundant, which is a sort of strange thing to want about your own job. But obviously the dream is that all sports journalists cover women's sport all the time and they don't think twice about it. And you know, men who cover the Premier League will also cover the WSL, the Women's Super League. That's the ultimate aim. And in that case, I suppose my job title would be, or my job purpose would be slightly different. But I don't think we're there yet, obviously. But I am seeing huge changes. I used to think, you know, a couple of years ago, I was, well, for a long time, I was one of the only women on my team, one of the only women in the sports department. I'm lucky now we're sort of a 7-day operation with the Times newspaper as well, and they've got some outstanding female sports journalists, including my colleague Molly Hudson, who is absolutely amazing. And there's just so many women coming through at the kind of junior level into the industry now. And I used to worry, like, what if I did move on or change my job and there'd be no one there to replace me because there were so few women covering sport, and you don't want to kind of go into a room with full of men and then leave the room and it just still be full of men. That's not really how I wanted things to go. But now there are just tons of women coming in at the junior level, being given opportunities that I don't think they were given 5-10 years ago. And that is just amazing to see, because these women also, Molly covered, you know, the Premier League, she covers European football for men. She covers all sorts of things in the men's game as well as the women's game. And that's how it should be. You know, we shouldn't be ghettoized by any stretch.
Well, I think that's great. And I'm really thrilled that you've been able to chat about a whole load of different issues regarding financial issues for women, sociological issues, the pressures that maybe women experience. And I think you are the perfect role model for people who do want to get into sport journalism. And I'm so pleased you've said you don't need to be sporty or you don't need to know the lingo. This is great. And it's great to hear that there are more women coming through. So thanks ever so much for chatting today.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me.